All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountainstatesurvival.com. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have on with us our guest, Mr. John Dislin. John is the author of Nehemiah Strong, as you see there in his background. And me and John are going to be talking a little bit about, I guess, the aftermath of the elections. We were talking previously about the pride of Pharaoh in Exodus and some of the wrath of God that happened, and maybe how that relates to what's happening right now. John, thanks for being on with us.
Oh, my pleasure, brother. Good to be back on with you again. It's been too long.
Yeah, man, too long. So where do you want to start?
Well, you know, I've been talking to different people, and obviously we just came out of this this voting season, and wanted to talk about hopefulness in the midst of growing evil, growing concern, and how I think there's this really powerful juxtaposition for us. If you're a believer, if you're not, man, it's time to get on Team Jesus. Like yesterday, right. We can talk about that a little bit, but if you are, there's always that opportunity for hopefulness because we know that God is faithful. And so I'd love to talk about that juxtaposition between seeing this storm that we're in and seeing the storm building. We're already in it. It's building. But then also how much hopefulness we could have, particularly as we sail into this holiday season of Thanksgiving and then Advent and Christmas, and how we should just, if for no other reason than just to piss off our adversaries, we should double down on joy and hopefulness in this season. So I'd love to sharpen iron around those concepts.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back biblically, especially in the Old Testament with Isaiah, every time God had to humble his people, there was always an olive branch to an extent. You know, mm-hmm. His hand was always stretched out still, as it says in Isaiah. And I think we have such a loving, righteous God, such mm-hmm. a understanding and forgiving God, but a jealous God, that he would not allow us to go too far. Yeah. Now, my concern is that with America being the number one nation in the world, with the exporter of porn and drugs and all that other, you know, horrible stuff.
Yeah.
This election made me view that maybe we're being given over to a reprobate mind as a nation. And it's so dangerous to go down that path. But yet what I was speaking to people about the other day is you need to stay insulated in the Word of God. You know, this book, man, the Bible gives us so many examples of the blessings of God. Earlier today, my wife and I were listening about the story of Job. And, you know, with all the temptations and people coming against him, even his own wife coming against him, you know, and Job showed faithfulness to God and God repaid him, you know, tripled what he had. And I believe that as Christians, especially, you know, for those of us suffering in America, suffering with the stupidity of President Potato, we need to double down on the Bible. Your vote, you cannot double down and trust on anymore, but you can trust
in this.
You can trust in this great big heavy book. And
amen to that.
Yeah, I every time I get upset, I go back to the Word.
Yeah. Well, and in agreement with what you're throwing out there, Wrecker, Steve Quayle has said many times, and it's just a truism, right? That there's no political solution to a spiritual problem. And to the extent that America has actually become reprobate, and you know, and we could spend all night talking about all the different proofs of that, right?
That'd be a philosophy class, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, and it would seem like it would never end with the proof of it. Here's the thing: if God is a righteous God, and if He will not be mocked, then at some point there must be judgment for a reprobate attitude and for the destruction of. And I'll tell you, this is part of how I pray, Wrecker, is, you know, I pray particularly when I'm praying imprecatorily. I'll pray against the destruction of God's elect. I'll pray against the destruction of God's inheritance, which are the children. And then I'll pray against the destruction of God's creation, which is, you know, the earth, all of creation, you know, nature and the atmosphere and the soil and the plants and all that kind of stuff. And there's so much to pray against. At some point, He has to move against it. And I think, and I'd love for you to weigh in on this, Wrecker, but I think it's important for us to know that as His faithful children, He's not going to forsake us. He's a big God, and He's a capable God, and He is able to preserve His people, the righteous people, those who are, you know, have made Him both their Lord, as their Savior, but also their Lord. He's able to preserve us in the midst of that judgment, just as He was able to preserve. You remember the 7,000? Was it Elijah who thought he was the only one left who hadn't bent a knee? And God said, by the way, there are actually 7,000 who haven't bent a knee to Baal. So we're like that. And He can preserve us just like He preserved them in their day.
Well, you know, and I want to thank my wife for due diligence and a Bible study. But, you know, God used men like Nehemiah and Gideon, you know, to warn the nation and to bear witness to the damnation and destruction, but also as a element of hope where there was no hope, because God always brings you to the end, right? Yeah. We will run out of gas and then we'll go, now how do I fill up my car? And then, you know, you go to start it and like, hey, you got 5 extra gallons. Like, okay, that's a God thing. or stop trusting GMC because that's what it did to me. But with Nehemiah, you know, God went after a man's heart who was praying. God went after a man who was anguishing in prayer, real prayer. You know, not Lord, please fill up my bank account with, you know, this week's Powerball, or, you know, Lord, help me, you know, get this stupid little thing done. You know, involve God in everything that you do. But when we're talking about the nation, we're talking about saving lives. God will seek out typically the ones that you don't ever think about. And, you know, with Gideon, God went to the poorest people in the poorest area, to the poorest tribe, to the poorest family, to the poorest man to say, he will be my warrior. He will be my soldier. He will be the one that I shall stand up. I shall lift him up above everyone else, and he shall be the savior of my people for this episode. And, you know, I think one thing that's really good to remind people is that you all have a part to play in God's Bible. Every one of us has a part to play. You know, Donald Trump is not Superman. Donald Trump, I do not believe in my heart, is going to be the savior of this country. It's going to be praying Christians. Yeah. You know, that's it, and that is our strength. That is our power, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And you know, when the vote happened the other night, and I saw so many people, John, that have continued to vote for this Democratic demonized party. They continued to vote for, you know, the worship of Moloch and Baal. They continued to vote for the Antichrist infrastructure. Good job, America. You know, good job.
Hey, and you know what? They're going to give what they're voting for, though, right? I mean, God's a God of free will.
Absolutely.
If that's what they want, he's going to let them drown in it, frankly.
Well, just like you and I were recently talking about before we came on, sitting here in Exodus,
yeah.
You know, starting at Exodus chapter 7, verse 14, the first plague, water turned to blood, you know, and then by chapter 8 and then 9, we have Pharaoh hardening his heart, and God then hardened Pharaoh's heart. We have such a stiff-necked, stone-faced people in America that you see evil being done in front of you. You see evil being done to children, and it would be better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you toss into the sea with it than what you do to these little ones. That is what our Lord said, and that is what I believe will happen to every person in this country who turns that route or who voted for it. You will reap what you planted. Yeah. But as Christians, we are not to be part of this world. And you know, I want to ask you, at what point in time do we say the system is so corrupt we need to separate ourselves?
You know, it's interesting you're saying that, Record, because that thought was actually going through my mind seconds before you just asked that question. And I'm asking the same question. I do, and I think there are different degrees of that. You know, for example, there's a really formerly extremely popular, now less popular, video, you know, streaming service, Netflix. And, you know, we were members of it. We watched stuff on it. And just as the different content came out that was on it, that was just so reprobate is the best word I can think of for it. We reached a point where it's like, I'm not watching those programs, but my money is providing for the production of those programs. Mm-hmm. And I can't abide in that anymore. And we turned it off. And so, you know, I think it happens at little levels like that, but at some point it's going to have to happen at bigger levels, like such as I'm living in a hardcore blue, either state or area. I have to get out of here. And I think one of the things that, that I've experienced more and more in my life in recent years is the Holy Spirit will nudge you. It'll direct you. It'll open doors. It'll create that unction. You know, I love that old King James word, right? That unction in your gut, in your spirit, to go do something, to go somewhere else. And so I think as we're attuned with our Father, our Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, I think He can inform us, because I think it's important, Record, as you know, so many verses in Scripture that talk about waiting on the Lord. And I think that's multi-layered. You know, I think it's relying on Him, it's pressing into Him, it's seeking His face. But I think it also has a temporal, you know, a more literal application, which is waiting on His timing till His timing is right for making a move. And, you know, for example, I was listening to a preacher, Jack Hibbs, who I love and adore. He's out in metropolitan L.A. And I've wondered to myself many times, you know, why does he stay in Southern California? And I heard him speak to it one time, and he said, you know, I'd be the first person on a rental trailer out of here if the Lord directed me to. But for now, I'm staying put where I'm planted, and I'm sowing seeds, and I'm helping to bring the gospel, the truth to people in this, you know, this place. And so he's attuned. He's not blind to what we're talking about, but there's a time and a place for everything, right?
Well, I think pastors and preachers who are on fire for the Lord, but stuck in a democratic city, you know, it reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord's got you in the fiery furnace, but protecting you, but he's got you in there to bear witness. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Trust me, there's no way that I could keep myself in a blue city. I am too loose of mouth to not say anything.
It takes a certain disposition, doesn't it?
It does, and not mine. You know, maybe that's just my grizzly bear attitude. I don't get along with many others as it is. But I could promise you this, man. You know, if you listen to the Lord, stay true. And one of the things that my wife does quite a bit is fasting, and I do it here and there. Probably should do it more. But when you have that major decision, you know, to move, especially during this economy, you need to fast and pray. You need to seek through the supernatural means of the Lord. Sometimes we don't get our answers on our knees. Sometimes some of these things only come out through fasting and praying.
Amen.
And, you know, I say that as Christians, we need to observe the Bible a little bit more than we do just on, you know, 30 minutes on a Sunday. And we should probably start trying to reconnect the covenant of the Lord. I'm sad to say that I don't believe we have a covenant with God in our nation. Individual basis, sure. But yeah, there's no way that you could say America has a covenant with God with the way that we act. You know,
not anymore.
No.
We did.
Could you imagine? And I say this to, you know, my own grandfathers. Both of my grandfathers were in World War II. One was in Pearl Harbor, and the other one jumped into Normandy. Wow. And, you know, I look back and I go, I don't know what those men would think. Could they see what's happening now? And these were very staunch, hard-nosed, rough cowboy kind of guys. That was everybody back then, right? Yeah. I'm talking about men that used to, you know, take out the engine and transmission of a truck with no gloves while the engine was still hot. You know, I mean, these guys pull up to a tree, put a chain in it, and yank it out. I used to watch them do it. But, you know, now we have such pussified men. And I mean that in a good Christian way when I say that. We have men that are just, they have become women in the midst of thee. You know, an old Viking proverb, once we were mighty lions, and when did we become tamed house cats? You know, this world has stolen your manhood. It has usurped your ability as a man and your responsibilities. And not only that, but your power as a man is given to you by God. You know, it was man who conquered the world. It was man who conquered the giants. It was man who tears down other kingdoms. So man has quite a bit of weight in this world. And with the anti-men hating feminist and all the soybean drinking men out there who want to look like girls, I don't understand this anymore. But, you know, our manhood is under attack, and that mantle is given to us by God. If our manhood is under attack, then our godliness is under attack. And we need to stop being on the defensive about it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, just to build on, just to sharpen iron with you, Wrecker, on that. I think we've been conditioned, might be the best word for it, to be responsive to others when their feelings are hurt or when they're offended or when, you know, we say something that's controversial, and then emotions are used in place of reason as a counter argument, you know, which it's just a vacuum of argument, right? Because it's no counter argument at all, but it's used as an icon for a counter argument against a position we might hold. For example, with myself and believing scripture, when scripture says very clearly that women should not be pastors. Okay. And that's as controversial as a subject as I can think of bringing up. And if I encounter a woman and she comes to me and let's say I've said this, and she says, well, you know, I'm offended at what you said, and hopefully this is a really empowering concept or tactic for the folks listening to us sharpen iron with each other, is okay, be offended. You know, you're offended, be offended. But that's my position. And by the way, if you're offended at a position like that, take it up with God. I didn't dream this up. Go read 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's very clear. I didn't create it, but I think there's a lot of discernment that can help tease out why it might be so, and there's supporting scripture for it, but be offended. We as men need to stop being cowed and stop being cuckolded because somebody else gets their feelings hurt. We need to move past people and their hurt feelings because that's such a cop, it's such a con, and it's such a manipulation for somebody to use their feelings as an argument. And we need to reject that and continue moving forward. And like you said, we need to reclaim our manhood in a godly way and apply it to fighting against this enemy coming in like a flood. Like it talks about in Isaiah 59.
Well, I don't mean to sound prideful, arrogant, or boastful when I say this, but I'm going to come across that way.
Go for it.
But the last time I spoke to a lady who thought like that, I was still working for DHS, and she had an issue with me being a supervisor, whatever. I say used to say this all the time, and I'm. People who listen to me have heard me say it multiple times. I don't get friendship pay. I'm not here to hold your hand and coddle you. You're an adult. So I hold you to a standard. But, people talk about equality. This lame duck president and vice president that we have, they scream equality. And this is what I'll say to all the feminists. I'll see you in the trenches. When we fix bayonet, you better be beside me. But they won't. That's the hard reality. The hard reality is I never saw the feminists where I went. I never saw, and I have a problem with a lot of this equality stuff. I believe everyone should be equal under the sun to God. However, there is not equality.
No.
There is a
And just to build on what you're saying, Wrecker, we're equal in value. We're
absolutely.
equal in worth. But no two people, not even you and I, right? No two people are equal in terms of capabilities, gifts, blessings, strengths, weaknesses, right? We're
Man,
all unique. Thank God we're unique. I mean, what if none of us knew how to cook well? What if none of us knew how to fix an engine?
well,
That would suck.
man is nothing without woman, and woman is nothing without man. That was God's genius when he made us. But it was the cunningness of the devil to divide us through self-worth, through boastfulness and arrogance and pride. Something I try to never sound like, but hey, people get in their feelings and they get their feelings hurt. But it's our pride and self-worth where we lie to ourselves quite a bit, and we say, I'm worth so much. Listen to me and my problems and my ideas. But at the same time, a lot of those people won't learn from their own mistakes, albeit our politicians, right? But here, and I want to say this: when men fail to stand up when God is calling, it is going to be the women who stand up. And God bless the women who do stand up. And it is very unfortunate to see the women have to play the man's role in their families. It's very unfortunate for the women to have to play the role of preacher, head preacher in their family. My wife did that. I'm not ashamed to say that. When I was a reprobate heathen, my wife was the Christian. My wife was the one who was the prayer warrior. My wife was the one who was the head priest of our family. Wasn't me. That wasn't because that wasn't me at that point, and now I take the mantle and I take the brunt. But there's a difference between, becoming from sin-filled to being covered under the blood of Christ, and then being covered under the blood of Christ and then giving it back. See, in my mind, once I've gained territory, I'm not going backwards. You are going to have to kill me where I stand. That's just my mindset. I will not go backwards. I will not take one backward step. And I believe as Christians, as men and women of God, especially those who are married, we are the strongest because we are a link and a chain that is bound by God's love. And no one is going to break that except for you and your partner and creeping in of sin and not being diligent. And I think part of that is the reason why America is in the downfall, the spiraling downfall that we're in right now, is because we have allowed our relationship with God, and not only that, but our role, to be usurped by our need and our self-worth. And that, you know, TikTok, right? The Kardashians, Kanye West, all these stupid people, these stupid little people, who cares how much money they're worth? If Kim Kardashian got ran over, by an 18-wheeler and popped like a balloon that she is, no one would care. Everyone would talk about it for a week and then move on to the next celebrity. But God cares about every single thing that you do in your life. These people around you don't care. They're not your friend. And you need to make sure that you separate yourself from people who want to just use you for what you have or what, they can get from you. Something that I experience quite a bit, even in my role now. I have a little bit of head knowledge, as you probably know. And so people tap me out every now and then wanting advice. And every now and then I give that advice, but it seems to always be at a cost. What can I do for you and what can you do for me? God loves a charitable heart, but, be careful of some of the people that you're helping right now, because they're not helping you. They're taking away, usurping your abilities and saying that it's theirs. And I'm seeing that quite a bit right now, especially in politics. And all these politicians say, look at me and look what I've done and look what I'll do for this country. You haven't done anything. It's we, the people, that do it. We, the people, are the lifeblood. We, the people, are the economy. We're the protectors. We are the providers. And I'll probably never have a politician on this show because of the way I speak, but that's my view on it. I'll give it back to you.
Yeah. Well, I want to build on what you're saying, but I want to take it in the direction of the church, because I've recently had a couple of conversations with a lovely woman who's from my hometown, and her mom and my mom were best friends, but she and I have basically never spoken before last week. So kind of a curious situation of our families kind of coming full circle. But something that became apparent to me in talking to her was that she had spent years of strife and turmoil and almost, losing her, I'm not going to say lose her mind, because that's an exaggeration, but being greatly troubled in trying to have peace of mind because of betrayal and disingenuity, if you will, if that's a word, of people who claim to be Christians. And it's also come up in a couple of friends I have in this space, Wrecker, that you and I move in terms of, believing, vanguard thought leader type people who have been just ferociously betrayed in public. And I'm not going to name names, but supposed believing thought leaders attacking other people who I know to be completely on the up and up in terms of genuine, in terms of their desire to encourage people, to exhort people, to share the gospel, et cetera. And I think it's imperative that we all understand that the enemy doesn't stop creeping around at the threshold to the sanctuary of the church, and doesn't stop even amongst, and I'm telling, I hope everybody listening hears me, people you listen to, not all of them are, sheep or sheepdogs or righteous, encouraging the flock, leading the flock. There are wolves that have come in amongst the flock, as Paul warned the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Wolves came in amongst the flock, and he predicted it for 3 years with tears, warning them. And I'm just telling you, y'all listening, it happens even today, where just because somebody goes to church, they sing loud in church, they're up front, they're reading scripture, they're delivering sermons, they've got ministries, it would be so foolish to just presume based on that, that they're righteous. And like it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, you know, Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. So don't be surprised if his minions transform into ministers of righteousness, right? And so I'm even familiar with ministers who up front, you know, they play the part, they look so real, and yet I know for a fact that they're playing for the black team. So it's imperative that we have discernment, but we don't lose hope, because God sorts them out. He knows the difference between the sheep and the goats.
You know,
one
of the greatest examples of that is what's happening in your state right now between Warnock and the great Herschel Walker. Mm. Herschel Walker is one of the greatest human beings to have ever graced the soil of America. You know, I mean, I remember watching that guy play football. I remember watching that guy in MMA, you know, just mm-hmm. a monster of an athlete, even in his 50s. But you know, just such a good, down to earth, honest human being who knows his faults, who knows his limitations, but he's brave of heart and will walk into the forest of spears. You know, that's, we have so very few of those men left, and especially in the realms of power, and in this Warnock guy, you know, it's more or mm-hmm. less a black supremacist. He's a communist to the extent, he has done other things, but I'm not going to throw stones in a glass house. But when you have the option, you know, of do you want the Pharisee or do you want one of the apostles of Christ? You know, which side do you want to go? The world will always align and to include their wealth with the Pharisee, mm-hmm. but the world will always stand against you. They stood against Christ. They're going to stand against us. It's going to be worse. I would tell people to stand bold and firm in your faith. But you know, you have examples throughout this nation. You have men like John Dislin. You know, you have examples. If you don't know the direction to walk, there is a footpath that's been made for you. You can walk it. You can go through history. You can go through the Bible, you know, and you can learn. You can see how many times you need to repent for the plagues to subside.
Don't be surprised if you get what you ask for, right?
That's what I am regretting. I'm not going to say afraid, because I'm not afraid for what's going to happen in this nation, because I know God is going to judge a wicked government and a wicked nation. And we who are in him are going to be insulated, sealed in the forehead. We're going to be insulated. And if not, you're going to be rounded up and you're going to get tattooed in the hand or in the forehead. And good luck with all that.
Yeah.
You know, we live, John, in the age of the infrastructure of the Antichrist right now. And Absolutely. We have many ministers who are going to welcome the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I purposely believe the King of Rome, the Pope, is going to be part of it. Mm-hmm. I say strongly that I question every mega million super church that's out there. We got a couple of them here in Texas. I think we got three or four.
Yeah.
You know, and I can find fault with every one of those guys. But
and to that point, there's no perfect church.
No, there isn't.
But for heaven's sake, use discernment. And mm-hmm. if it's not lifting up the gospel, if it doesn't have a high view of scripture,
you mean if you're not pouring golden glitter into the air conditioner to circulate to everybody it's gold being drifted by God.
If it has a well functioning smoke machine during the musical portion of the service, you might want to look elsewhere. But so on the one hand, there's no perfect church, but for heaven's sake, use discernment. If they're thin, if they're serving up, watered down milk instead of meat, if they're not speaking out boldly against the wickedness that's going on in the world, if they're not speaking out boldly against sinfulness and reprobate mind and backsliding and convicting attendees to be repentant, then find someplace else for whatever you do. But back to what you were talking about a second ago, Wrecker, you know, you and I are both friends with Dave Hodges, and he's talked at length about the clergy response team. And I know that's authentic, and there is an army of just the clergy, not talking about their parishioners or the congregations. There's an army of those weak-kneed, watered-down milk, quizzling pastors who will eagerly play the role of the Judas goat, and millions of self-described Christians will follow after them to their doom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think back of the horrors of Stalingrad.
Oof.
You know, Lamentation, you know, with Nehemiah, you know, and I think of, you know, how many men were holy of spirit and weak in principles who did not help the congregation. But at the same time, John, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. I get that. And you're voting for the lesser of two evils, and I get that. But you need to take care of your house first. We get so wrapped up in what's happening with Kerry Lake's election in Arizona or with Georgia or between Trump and President Potato Head that, you know, people stop to forget, like, these are not your idols. These are not your heroes. You know, if your house is on fire, Kerry Lake is not going to come over there with water and put it out. I'm not saying she's not a bad person. I hope she gets the governorship for Arizona. Better than Katie Hobbs. But at the same time, you know, worry about yourself. Worry about your family. Have you stocked up food lately? Have you looked in the newspaper lately at what's happening around the world? I mean, we live in a time when the emotional outburst of the idiot is outplaying the softness of the strong man who's trying to tell people, stay calm, we trust in God. So you have the emotional outburst of the idiot who's running around saying, sell your 401k and buy gold, sell your 401k in your house and buy 5 years, 25 years worth of food stocks. What are you going to do with it? If you got to move, how are you going to carry it? For all you guys with 30 guns in your safe that I'm jealous of, you know, pick your favorite gun. That's why I have four. But, you know, I will say this, and then I'll give it back to you because we only have about 5 minutes left. Our nation right now, I believe we are going to start seeing the plagues of Egypt come. And I don't say that as like I'm going to start a series and I hope it gets a million views. I don't care. I really don't care. I feel in my heart that we have chosen as a nation, maybe not you individually, but we have chosen as a nation the destination. We have chosen the wrong path. Maybe that was predictable. Maybe that was also just, you know, scripture being fulfilled before our eyes. But we live in a time that the men and women of the Bible said that they wish they could have been in, because there will be such mighty works in God for those of us who are captured in Christ, for those of us who are born again and walk the righteous path. We are going to see mighty, mighty works of faith. And man, I get emotional thinking about it. And I'm not ashamed of it. I get emotional thinking about seeing miracles happen, because I think I can only say, like, once in my life have I seen a miracle. I've seen a lot of coincidences. But, you know, to see something, see God really moving. And I know through the playbook of the Bible, it takes the nation getting to the reprobate mind for God to say, now I'm stepping in. Now, and I'll say it like this: to all you who think that Satan has pushed you into the corner, has drove you to the wall. Now the back is at it, the wall is at your back. Think about it this way: God took you there because the wall is God, and now the only place that Satan has to go is backwards.
Yeah, it's isn't it interesting? And when I got this realization, record, I really found it motivating to me, and I think it will be to you. God is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. I am God. I change not. That's God, right? We know that Satan is utterly corrupted. There's no repentance. There's no righteousness in his heart. He is the father of lies. He's utterly corrupt. His closest minions who know what they're doing, they're sold out. I mean, virtually all of them, they're irredeemable. And so what's left in the middle are those people who just don't know better. And they're sort of going through life. They don't realize they're caught in a prison planet. And then faithful believers, and what will we do? How far will we go to serve this glorious God who gave himself up so that we could live? How far will we go in righteousness, faithfulness, boldness, fearlessness to carry the gospel, to be a good example, to be faithful in preserving righteousness within our own house, and then extending it out into the world? And so what's really motivating to me and exciting to me is most of the playing pieces on the board are set. It's just a few in the middle that really make the difference until kingdom come. And you and I are part of those pieces. And then those pieces around us, those people around us, really, of course, that are watching us, watching what we'll do, those are the other pieces. Everything else is going to do what they do. And so the flux in what's going to happen in this age to come until Jesus comes, it's going to be you and me, you know, and how far will we push to rage against the gates of hell, if you will. Because that verse that says, you know, that the gates of hell will not prevail over you. It's really the gates of hell will not withstand you. And I want to be part of that vanguard, charging the gates of hell, breaking them down boldly but lovingly with the gospel, so that we can hear one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because now is the time for that kind of spirit of boldness and fearlessness to charge the gates of hell and to prevail in this season.
Absolutely. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "The righteous shall live by faith, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" Live by faith, not by politics. Live by faith, not by fear. Don't be captured in this world's agendas. That's what's so dangerous about the world. That's what's so appealing about the world.
Yeah,
the world is wanting to conquer your inner man and to subject you to the law of sin, which is something we struggle against all the time. And you know, if only we could fulfill the law of God. Honestly, you know,
well, if we could, Jesus wouldn't have had to come, right? But no one can but him.
Hey, no one can undo the seals but the Lamb. And amen for that, because amen. There's not a demon out there. There's not a devil out there. There's not a new world order out there who can undo what God is doing or who can stop the inevitable. And I want to say this for a lot of you who believe that Jesus is the flip-flop wearing hippie that much of the church has now portrayed him to be. No. Jesus came as the Lamb, they slew him. Jesus comes back as the judge and slews them. You know, that is the way of the world.
He's the Lion of Judah.
Absolutely.
He's going to be way more like that than he is a little helpless baby when he returns. And remember what it says in James. It says, do you believe? Good. The demons believe and shudder. They know what's coming. And they ironically, at a more profound level than we do, they understand his nature, his omnipotence, and his ferocity for righteousness, right?
That's
God
right.
Loves judgment because it's righteous and it's coming. And if you want to be on the right side of history, be under the blood of Jesus that he already shed for you. All you have to do is accept that free gift. And brother, you will experience a liberty like you have never experienced in your life.
Yeah.
And I know, Wrecker, you can speak to that and I can speak to that.
And that's one of the things I look forward to. I hope that I live to see the coming of the Lord. You know, and I laugh in the face of all the dogmatic Christian religions that are out there, you know, soaking yourself in oil or, you know, Hail Mary this and running up and down the aisles and falling on your face, believing you're on fire or whatever it is that those people do. Yeah, and dancing with snakes. All of you are going to be made to look like fools, because all our Lord had to say whenever he went to the cave where there was the man who was overtaken by the legion of demons.
Yeah.
Go out of them. That's it.
Yep.
He ordered. That's the thing, though. Christ brings order. Jesus doesn't have to have all these ceremonies and traditions. He doesn't have to spin three times, you know, towards the east and bow down. That's not him. He just comes and says, I said, get out of them.
Yeah. And neither do we, you know, his power is in us. And he said, these things you will do and greater than these.
That's what I can't wait. That's what I can't wait. What is
he
greater?
Gave you? I know. I can't wait either. I can't wait to see you do these mighty works, right? Even more so than you're doing now. But that was an endowment to us that's already in place for us. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be wondering when it's going to show up, because we've already got it. And then the question is, when and how are we to wield it?
And that is the thing that I am trying to look for. It's one of the reasons why I hate to say this, but it's one of the reasons why I kind of stopped going to churches lately, because I feel like in a lot of the churches that I've been to, they tried to extinguish the Holy Spirit more than to promote it.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus said, you will be able to do what I did and more. Where's the church showing me that?
Yeah.
Where's the church showing me that? Where's the church that's showing me how to walk more than just by my own faith with Christ?
Yeah.
You know, I don't see it. I'm not saying there aren't men out there or women out there doing it. I'm not saying there's not a church out there doing it, but I haven't seen it where I'm at. And it's not that I haven't looked, but I started to look with this, right? More than just showing up and reading the Megatron from the church, saying, okay, this is the one verse we're going to go over for the next 45 minutes, and then we're going to, you know, eat and watch the Super Bowl. You know, I'm done with that, man. I'm so done with that.
Yeah.
That's how you go, in my personal opinion, that's how you're going to go to hell. Keep following the watered-down faith.
And remember, Jesus himself said, many in that day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. There's every implication that they're sincere, that they're shocked. They say, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And I verily, I will say to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. They don't even realize how distant they are from Christ. And so I think that is you being right on with the Holy Spirit when that just feels so wrong to you. I think that's Holy Spirit led, that it is in fact wrong, and you've got right discernment that you're repulsed by it, and you're looking elsewhere, right? And you're looking at Scripture, which is a good place to start.
Right, a good place to start and finish. Well, I have been plagued by friends who say, Doug, you should be in church, you should be in the corporate faith, you should be doing all these things. And then I say, well, when LGBTQRS came to town, where were you speaking about it? Where were you in Bible study? Where were you, you know, for the 45 minutes you decided to crack open the Bible and read two scriptures? I don't want that. I don't want to go to the zoo and feed a house cat. I want to go to the zoo and see a lion.
Yeah.
You know, they should tremble when we walk by them. The demons should tremble when we walk by them. You should be upsetting whatever is inside that demonized person instead of them looking at you like you're the next snack.
Well, and here's the thing, Doug. I don't think you're opposed to attending a church. You want it to be the right church.
Yeah.
You want it to be spirit filled. So you're I'm just making sure you're not speaking against anyone ever attending any church.
No, I want
you're
I
speaking want a, against wrong church.
And maybe it's a bad decision on my part, but you know, I've tried out three or four churches within the area. And I tend to have a pretty busy schedule over the last 10 years being with DHS, but you know, we've accompanied plenty of places, and you know, it's a beautiful choir, but I feel like I'm in, you know, the Valley of Dry Bones, or you know, there'll be just all different types of discrepancies that, you know, you just get that alarming feeling in your spirit. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to come back here.
Yeah.
You know? And my wife and I, we weep about it because we want to find that proper place of fellowship, but I will not be in a fellowship with people while I'm in a den of snakes at the same time.
Amen. And the fakery of it, right? Yeah. Playing at church, but denying the power thereof, which is, I think, what you were speaking to before. You walk in and it's like, it's like the old Testament term from the King James, Ichabod, right? Mm-hmm. The spirit of the Lord has departed. The glory of the Lord has departed. Where is it? It's vacant, right? It's all a show.
Yep,
and nobody should want to seek out that.
Brother, I've been to churches where the little old women in the back, the matriarchs, won't shut up. Everything's a snickering joke. You don't turn your phone on silent. You know, just let it ring for 20 minutes. You know, you can't wrangle yourself or your kids. Hey, and I got four kids. I understand that. But, you know, if it's distracting, do something about it. Yeah. And I've also been up there where I've seen the pastor who wants to give a fiery message. And then his son goes and plays drag at school. And I hear nothing about it after. You know, don't come to me on this seesaw religion that you want to play so that you look like you're going to church. You know, that's dangerous. That's playing games with God. I'm not in this for reputation. I'm not in this for popularity. I am not a popular person because of my attitude, and I'm okay with that. So I have said this before. I'm nothing more than the wolf stalking around the city. I'm at the wood line. You know, that's where I've always been, but I'm meeting others out there. And I just wish the church would get outside of the brick and mortar and carry their faithfulness outside, because the world needs it more now than ever. With the wickedness going on in Richland Hills, Texas, I talk about this all the time, with this every like third Saturday of the month, you had the drag queens, transsexual reprobates out there dancing on top of kids. Where's the church? Why is that? And look, I know, follow the law, don't follow what Doug says, but why is that place not burnt down yet? You know, I mean, I'm not saying light the match. I'm saying, Lord, let the fire drop from the
sky. By God's hands.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, that's the, unfortunately, brother, that's where we live right now. You know, that's the world. And there's very few men and women we're willing to pick up the cross for Christ and to carry it. But if you are, you're going to be one of the most powerful things on earth, because God is with you. And if he's with us, who can stand against us?
Yeah. Yeah. And for those who think, what can I do? You plus God, if you're in a right, repentant, non-hypocritical relationship with your Father through his Son, who came and paid the price for you, you plus God is not even a supermajority. It is an undefeatable ultra majority. There is no losing in that case, right? And that's not to say that at some point he doesn't allow you to come home. But like Paul said, you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So be careful about, you know, wanting to save your life here and winding up losing it because you make a bad choice to have 15 more minutes on earth and you sacrifice your eternity.
Yeah. We got about 2 minutes left. Can you let people know where they can get their book? And I'll give you the last closing remarks, John.
Absolutely. Thank you, Racker. And hey, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy sharpening an iron.
We got to do this more often, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's good. So as we've talked about, I'm John Dislin. I wrote this book, Nehemiah Strong, and it's, you know, it's a 480 page, basically a field manual for equipping believers and also unbelievers to stand and occupy and overcome in this season when the enemy's coming in like a flood. And, you know, Wrecker's gotten it. He's spent a little time with it and his wife too. But in any event, a lot of people really have loved it. And I've really been humbled. I think God's hand was in it because I look back at it and I just think, where did this come from, frankly? But if you go to johndislin.com, johndislin.com, I know Wrecker will put notes down in the video notes. But if you go there, you can learn a lot more about the book. You can also see we've got over 80 reviews now and about 4.8 stars. So people really like it, and check it out. And also for your followers, Doug, Vindicta1 is the discount code, and you can get 10% off with Vindicta1.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you for that.
My pleasure.
What's your closing remarks for everything that's been happening now?
You know, I'm going to go back to where we started and what we were talking about before we went on. As the darkness gets darker, I just want to exhort everybody listening that this is our time to shine. And I would encourage you to be that light in the world, to be bold in your joyfulness. You know, as things get hairy, understand that God knew that nothing happens. You know, a sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing. And so he knows about the darkness. He knows what the enemy is up to. But as we talked about with Pharaoh, Wrecker, you and I talked before about Revelation 17:17, even when the kings of the 10 beast kingdoms in Revelation are turning over their kingdoms to the Antichrist, God put it in their heart to do as he dictated, that his word might be fulfilled. And so even as the enemy go about their schemes, don't be perplexed by that, because God isn't, and he is a faithful God. He will see us through this, and we need to be faithful back to him in return, partly by preserving our joy and lifting one another up, Doug, like you and me. Whenever you and I talk, I get lifted up. Let's lift one another up. Let's be joyful, even in the face of the iniquity, and let's shine our light that everyone will see the difference. And those people on the margin who might believe will come to us and say, how can you be so optimistic? And then we'll be able to share with them the gospel and win more souls over to God's kingdom.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, as protectors of God's kingdom, which is every single one of us, take the sword and raise it high and be of good cheer. God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that almost wants to bring a tear to my eye just thinking about that. God is with us.
He's with us.
Yeah, he's never left us. He's never broken his promise.
He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Think about that. Ever-present.
Absolutely. So, John, thank you very much for coming on. I just want to let people know with Nehemiah Strong, I go back and forth with that book at least once or twice a week. I read a little bit because it's such a gigantic book. And, you know, it's a shame that the book is so big, but you made it look regular with your monstrous hands. And I thought I had giant hands. But, you know, one of the things I like to do, if you do grab the book, I do implore you to grab it. And use the discount code Wrecker1, or excuse me, Vindicta1, I like to cherry pick a little bit of it because there's so much in there, and then I just go back to scripture. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, it's every time I pick up the book, I feel like, man, I swear I haven't read this before, but I have. You know, so replenish your knowledge in the Lord. It'll make you better. It'll lift your day up. So, John, that's all we got. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you should have left probably 17 minutes ago, but
I've here in Atlanta, I've always got traffic to blame it on, so no worries.
oh, that's right. Well, praise God that you came on, and I know that you are a much requested guest. So we need to make sure that we start doing this a little bit more often, brother. That's my bad. We need to do this more often.
I'd
So,
enjoy that.
John, thanks for coming on, and give me a holler later on this week, and let's talk about a few things. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. My name's Doug Thornton. This is John Disselin, and stay frosty. The enemy is out there.
Amen.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position. Really, for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
You can find this show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindictus Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindictus Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.